Well, today's scripture is from Matthew chapter 23, beginning at verse 1. Hear this word from the Lord. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, so practice and observe whatever they tell you, but do not do what they do. For they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and they lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long, and they love the places of honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." This is the word of God. May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Get his point. Don't be a hypocrite. There was a TV show on PBS, a British comedy sitcom. It ran from 1990 to 1995, but it's on reruns, and they've told me at both services it's still going on. Right? And the name of the show is Keeping Up Appearances. Has anybody ever watched that? Okay, we have a few people, all right. Yes, like I said, it's been in reruns for many years, and the central character of Keeping Up Appearances is a middle-aged woman named Hyacinth Bucket. Oh, that's not the way Hyacinth pronounces her last name, Bucket. She insists on the French pronunciation, Bouquet. Hyacinth Bouquet. Hyacinth comes from a family of distinctly working class. The Bucket name fits quite nicely. Hyacinth's relatives dress sloppily, scratch themselves in undignified manner, and watch television in their underwear. Hyacinth Bouquet, on the other hand, wants to totally dissociate herself from her lower class roots. For example, she polishes the empty milk bottles so they don't look unsightly on her front doorstep. She berates the local postman for delivering letters with second-class stamps. The only mail she wants to receive must have first-class stamps. When the telephone rings, Hyacinth informs anyone within earshot to call out, "It's probably someone very important." She refuses to let people come in the back door because in the better families, the proper way to enter a house is to be announced at the front door. But of course, Hyacinth Bouquet is not from one of the better families. But she expends an extraordinary amount of time and energy hiding that fact. And of course, she attempts to impress people, and the way she does it always backfires, sometimes disastrously, and thus there is the humor of this show. Everything they do is to be seen by men. Jesus said that about the Pharisees, the scribes, teachers of the law. All of Matthew 23 is a rebuke and a warning about being hypocrites and inwardly acting contrary to the will of God. Jesus ended up saying to them, the Pharisees and the scribes, "You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell. Those are frightening words. Imagine Jesus saying that to us. Oh, I'd really tremble, wouldn't you? How do you become a hypocrite? Well, the recipe is very simple. Very simple. First of all, aim to look good without being good. Right? An example might be that famous outlaw, Jesse James. It is said that Jesse James killed a man in a bank robbery, and shortly thereafter, he was baptized in a nearby Baptist church as if nothing happened. Then he killed another man, a bank cashier, and immediately joined the church choir, true, and taught him singing as if he hadn't murdered people. As one commentator reported, he liked Sundays, Jesse did, but he couldn't always show up at church because on Sunday he robbed trains. To aim to look good without being good is the first ingredient on the way to being a hypocrite. Secondly, expect others to measure up to the standard which you don't keep yourself. They don't practice what they preach. In fact, what did the Pharisees do? They demanded people keep this commandment and this thing and do this and be this way. They loaded up burdens upon people, but they didn't lift a finger to do those things themselves. That's an important ingredient in being a hypocrite. Expect others to be what you're not. And third, exalt yourself every chance you get. Toot your own horn. Make sure you are in the picture, in the middle of the picture. Years ago, Bernard Baruch was asked how he went about arranging the seating of guests at his dinner parties without offending anyone. You see, he had very famous people come to his dinner parties. Well, he replied that he solved the problem by simply allowing his guests to seat themselves, to choose wherever they wanted to sit. As he put it, the people who matter don't mind, and the people who mind don't matter. There's wisdom in that, isn't there? If you follow these three simple rules, you'll easily become a hypocrite. It's really not hard to do. Now, there's something very hard for me to say. I am a hypocrite. Now there's something that's much easier for me to say. You are hypocrites. Is there anyone here who doesn't enjoy looking good? I'm not just talking about your appearance, but looking good. If you're doing something that would make you look not so good, you hide it generally. We men are better off having our wives at home because who knows what we would do if they weren't. There was a survey, a poll years ago that asked, which one member of your family is the best looking? The top answer that people gave was me. And then another survey came along in the same vein and asked, who is the smartest person in your family? Again, people said, overwhelmingly, me. And then there was this third survey, and it asked this, which family member is most likely to tell a lie? Me ranked 9th out of 10. I mean, we laugh because it's true, isn't it? But yes, I'm here before you to say that I wear a mask sometimes. I don't like wearing masks, but I do it. But there is a big difference between you and me and the Pharisees and the scribes that Jesus addresses in our lesson today. And the difference is this: we are not content to be hypocrites. We fight against it, we repent of it, and we know it, that we are just humble beggars who are dependent on the grace of God. You agree with that? Do you? The Pharisees knew none of this. They rejected the truth about themselves stubbornly and persistently. They had made peace with their double life. You should never make peace with a double life. They showed that they were hypocrites by the things they wore. They wore phylacteries, small leather cases that they would wear on their foreheads and on their arms. In these small leather cases were placed scripture verses from Exodus 13 and for Deuteronomy chapter 6. And those scriptures talked about the Jews being brought out of Egypt, and also Deuteronomy 6, how we are to love God. The Pharisees also wore fringes or tassels, and they were to represent the commandments of God, reminder of God's will that they should follow in their lives. These things were commanded of the Israelites, the Jews. They're not bad things. But the Pharisees turned these things into a uniform that declared their importance, not God's. Their importance. They supersized them. And they did this because they were proud peacocks in their hearts. They couldn't see how sick and how needy they were. They needed grace. They needed forgiveness. They needed saving, all of which in their blindness they rejected. And so they were wretched, pathetic, and pitiful, and yet they saw themselves as good, noble, and admirable. You know, it almost goes without saying that we should not want to be a hypocrite. First of all, hypocrites hurt people. How many children have been turned off to God, to Christ, to the church because that was just on cue? How many children have been hurt by their parents and alienated from God and Christ because of hypocritical parents? They come to church, everybody looks pretty good, they get out in the car, and there's raging anger. There is, we're out of church now, and things are flying, right? I've talked to many people who say, well, the reason I don't go to church anymore and the reason I have trouble with God is my parents. Now, you might say, well, that's an excuse, but all I'm saying is, it doesn't take very long for children and young people to get those antennas up, and they're looking for hypocrisy. And it gives them a reason to spurn God. Hypocritical people, parents, hurt people. Hypocritical people are often the most judgmental people on the face of the earth. And by the way, even non-religious hypocrites prove this. Yes, hypocrites hurt people. Secondly, we don't want to be a hypocrite because nobody likes hypocrites. I mean, there's a deep universal disgust when pretenders and liars are discovered. Am I right? Do you just like that hypocritical person you know? You know, we have to, with the love of Christ, we can love them. But it's difficult. It is difficult. But thirdly, and most importantly, you cannot serve God while playing the part of a hypocrite. And because God wants to love you and forgive you in Jesus Christ, you're actually hurting yourself when you pretend you're already good. And thus, in turn, this makes you unusable in serving Him. God cannot use active hypocrites who don't repent of it in His service. So how do you avoid becoming one? This is the most simple message. The most important thing we can do, and that we must do, is to hear God's word and let it do its work on us. God's word can shatter the lies we tell ourselves. It shows us, just like Jesus attempted to do with the Pharisees, our sins, the ugliness that's within us, in our hearts, that we disguise and that we cover up. And it shatters it. God's word leaves us nowhere to hide. He sees behind every mask. He reveals that we really are indeed poor, miserable sinners. But then God's word does something marvelous. It puts Jesus before us. Jesus on the cross, where He shed His blood for us. Jesus resurrected. Jesus in the Holy Supper. Jesus is presented to you today. Jesus is grace. Jesus is forgiveness. Jesus is gift for you. Your salvation is a gift. We are saved by faith. We're not saved because of our works. No strings attached. You know, I say that salvation is a gift, and that rubs some people wrong sometimes because they, like the Pharisees, I'm going to show you, I was pretty good. Doesn't that count for something? And the answer to that is, no, it doesn't. It doesn't count for anything. Not toward your salvation. Why? Because it's mixed up with things where you're not so good. I probably overuse this analogy, but because I use it all the time. But can you imagine somebody who's drowning in the ocean and say, you know what, I've decided I'm going to save myself. Or at least I'm going to help out the person, you know. I'm going to start pulling on my trunks, my swim trunks, and you know, and then when I'm saved, I'm going to tell everybody, yeah, I got saved. I did this and I did that. Wouldn't you say that's ridiculous? Isn't that absolutely ridiculous? It's a gift to you. It's a gift, salvation. This is what the Pharisees hated. This is why they despised Jesus and why people today despise Jesus. The Pharisees wanted to say, look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. I'm more than good enough. They resented Jesus' message that people that they deemed that were less worthy themselves would get the same gift. How in the world can they, those tax collectors, even compare to us? People of the world today, by the way, this is a direct quote from a guy I met on a cruise. They might say this, even if there is a God, I am good enough to be accepted by Him. That's what the guy told me. He got right down to brass tacks. I'm good enough. How blind can we be? Do you not know, I'm sure many of you do, that you're not good enough? Are there days when your thoughts, at least, are not very holy. That you're not the righteous person that, and the good person that maybe you portray yourself to be. I tried to portray myself. Aren't I good? But there are days I don't want to be a hypocrite. I fight against it. I don't want to be blind. I'll tell you this, though. If you believe God's word, law and gospel, and hear it often, you will never be a thoroughgoing hypocrite. You won't be it. You will never settle for it. And because of that, you will do the one thing that cannot be faked. You will offer genuine, self-sacrificing, humble, and loving service to your fellow human beings. The greatest among you will be your servant. Listen to God's word. Repent. Believe the gift that Jesus offers you. Ditch the mask. And look for your opportunity to serve other people. And so become what God has always intended you to become, one of His children, dependent on His grace. If you've understood this simple message today in the scripture that we had, then you got the point. May it truly be so. In Jesus' name and to His glory, amen.